Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Goa Weekly Show. Hey, Stormy, how you going?
Hello. I'm good. I realize I look very tired, but I'm otherwise really good. How are you?
I think that's okay because I'm feeling pretty tired as well. It's been a big week, but we're here. We're excited because next week we'll be at PAX.
I know, next week. Oh. Will you be there this time next week?
Yes, I will, actually. I fly out at like 7 a.m. Perth time next Wednesday.
Oh, that's exciting. I will probably be doing my last minute packing of my bags, I think, this time next week. So it's all starting to feel very real now, especially chatting with you just before this and chatting to some friends of mine who are also traveling over there is just, yeah, is making it seem really real now. So excited.
It's very exciting. But before we go too far, we have to let's have a say hello to everybody in Twitch chat. Hello, Charlie Golf, Gamma, Gamey Face, Simmy Cat. Good to see you, Simmy Cat. Haven't seen you in the chat for a while. Hope you're feeling well. I know she was having some issues, but she did come to the meetup that we had. She dropped in for a little bit when Reflex was over.
I'm so sad. I keep hearing about the meetup that I wasn't able to attend, and I'm like kicking myself. So never again. Never again. Will I miss one, for sure.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, it happens sometimes. You can't be at every meetup. So
next time.
That's right. I promise. Well, you are going to be at the next Goa meetup, which is going to be at PAX.
So just not in Perth, though.
Have to go all the way across to the other side of the country to get to a meetup.
Yeah. Big thanks for the Guys of the Galaxy recommendation last week. Yes, I've been really enjoying it. That makes me so happy.
It's such a good game, though. Like, woohoo! It's such a really good, for what you would think would be better suited to a multiplayer game, they do a really good job of making it be single player and just the heart in it, the humor and the heart in it. It's very much the video game version of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, there's no better thing than recommending a game to someone and hearing that they love it. The kind of validation and stuff that you get is really, really good. Mm. And I don't know if this is a good segue into the bloody good game of the week.
I think it is.
Do you think that was a good segue? Was that my first segue?
I do. I'm glad you brought that one up because I was looking for one myself. But look at you with your segues. So good.
Well, speaking of making recommendations of games and having someone go, oh, I really love this game. I can't stop playing it. So my bloody good game of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband, isn't technically my... bloody good game of the last couple of weeks. So my mum got me into gaming on like just normal PC kind of stuff, like nothing really crazy. I don't know if anyone remembers like Donald Duck Goes Quackers. There was like a Lord of the Rings game, the original Harry Potter ones, all of that. And then since then, it's been a long time since she's actually played any games just for herself. And then I brought around the Stardew Valley board game because it's a game that I really love and a game that I got my little sister into and we just got obsessed with. And my mum likes, and I hope she doesn't mind me calling her out here, but she does quite like, there's one particular farming game she would always play on her phone. And I always thought, I said to her, I was like, why don't you try Stardew Valley? I think you'll really like it. And when I brought the Stardew game over, the board game, I think once she kind of saw the characters and then it wasn't just farming, but there was mining and there was like, collectibles and stuff to find too. She got really like, I think, interested into it. So anyway, she's bought it on, because I actually forgot you can actually play this on iPad. I'm pretty sure this is on every console now. Yeah, so she plays on iPad and I think it's like a SteelSeries like controller, like Bluetooth, she's like hooked up to it. So she's actually using her controller to play it on the iPad so she could play it like everywhere. She doesn't have her own Switch or anything like that. And she's just like, I saw her like the week after she was playing it, and she was like, oh my god, you'd be so proud of me, I'm on year two now, I'm like level 40 something in the mine. And now when we chat, like, she's like picking up things like, yeah, when I go to the mines, I bring the food with me so my energy runs out, I have to keep an eye on the time so my character doesn't pass out, and I have to make sure I get to every fifth level so I can save. Like, she's like, she really got it into it, and I'm like, oh, my gaming recommendations, like, it's just, it warms my heart, because I feel like I'm kind of getting her into gaming again, which is really nice. That's... And now it's something that, you know, all three of us in the family, all three girls in the family, like, can bond over. You know?
That's really cool. Like, I love finding those games that you can get together with your parents. So, like, this is a bit of a sidetrack, but I always tell the story of when people ask me the question, what was the first game that you played? And I genuinely do not know. I've been around video games that long that I just don't know. When I was like 4 years old or something like that, we lived in a little country town called Mount Magnet, and Dad had a side gig of going around and putting Space Invader machines into the local pubs. So we had like big upright video games that had this Pac-Man clone called Crush Roller and stuff like, and Frogger and that sort of stuff. Yep. And I remember playing those with Dad, and it was really cool. Just one of those things that it's a memory that you always hold on to.
And hearing
about your mum getting into this and you guys talking about it just makes me think of that.
Yeah, it's funny because it's almost like happened in reverse now, where like I'm now slowly getting her back into this, because another game that I actually had her use a proper like PlayStation controller for, which admittedly took her a while to get into, but I found out she didn't play it just once all the way through, but twice, which really surprised me for someone who's new to a PlayStation controller, was Detroit Become Human.
Oh, really?
Which is so unexpected. Obviously, very different from Stardew. Yeah. But I don't know, especially now she's, you know, playing Stardew and she's played Detroit. You know, now I kind of want to bring over things like, I don't know if she'll like Until Dawn or The Quarry as much, because they are very scary.
I was about to say, like, when you started mentioning, like, she played through a game not once, but twice, I thought you were going to say something like The Quarry. Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, now I feel like I'm just kind of getting her interest into like different bits and pieces now. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it would take a lot of convincing to try and get her onto one of my streams to play something with me, because I think that would be really fun. I would say on behalf of her, Stardew Valley is my bloody good game of the week. I think it's just it's one that's been around for a really long time, one that is most people are quite familiar with. But if you haven't played it before and you're looking for something nice and cozy and cute, Stardew is probably one of the best ones out there. And in my opinion, I think it's better than Animal Crossing. So there you go. That one a go if you haven't already.
It's it'll come no surprise to you, it's not my sort of game, but it's the game that sort of kick-started all the farming games again, because I think when it was released, this was the spiritual successor to Harvest Moon, which was a Nintendo game, like original Nintendo.
I had Harvest
game.
Moon too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just taking those similar sort of things and bringing them into it. And people loved it. And then devs realized there was an appetite for that. And then you get the iterations on that, like Cult of the Lamb, for instance, that has that base building and farming sort of aspects. And yeah, it's just really cool to see these ideas come round again. And that's my segue into my bloody good game of the week, because I've been playing Return to Monkey Island. So, way, way, way back then, there was a little studio called LucasArts, which was an offshoot of Lucasfilm, which made the Star Wars movie. And they did a lot of Star Wars games back in the day, but they also like cornered the market on point-and-click adventure games. So, there was games like Full Throttle and Day of the Tentacle, and The Secret of Monkey Island was one that they made as well. It was just very different it used the video game's capacity, because when you're doing your point and click, it doesn't take much. Okay, that interacts with that, that interacts with that. You know, we're not talking about Doom that needed a whole rack of processing power to do. It was just an interactive story almost. But the way it did it with the puzzle elements and working together and working out what bit in your inventory goes where to make something happen, that was just the essence of the point and click adventure games. And I gotta say, the Return to Monkey Island captures that again as well. There is just so many really cool little bits, and the humor's still there as well. Like, there's a little bit of meta humor in there. Like, there's a bit where a spell is being read out by someone, and it's this big sort of spooky music and whatnot, and it took me a little while, but the words that they were reading out were lorem ipsum text, which, for those of you that work in print media or like anything to do with words, lorem ipsum is the Latin text that they use as filler text when you just want text to go in there to see how it looks to fill up the space. This person was just reading out that text, and I got a little bit of a giggle out of that. And this game does still get meta as well, particularly in the ending. But I quite like the ending. I don't want to give anything away, because like the whole story is about, because there's been two Monkey Island games, and in the first two games you don't find out what the secret of Monkey Island is. So Guybrush Threepwood, who's the main character that you can see walking around on the screen at the moment, is he's got it into his head that he wants to go back to Monkey Island to find the secret. And it, like I said, it gets a little bit meta at the end, but it's a good ending, and I can't say more than that without spoiling it. And I really liked it.
For someone who hasn't played any of the Monkey Island games before, is this does this continue off the other, like the last one did, or is this its own separate thing? Or
it's still its own self-contained story. But it is a sequel to the other games, and the developers knew, because it's been years. Like, I've got to say, I'm pretty sure it was 90s that the last Monkey Island game got released. So, but what the developers have done is they've included a scrapbook that will tell you, like, gives you the gist of the story of the first two games. So that that's really good if you don't know the story. Or if you're like me and you needed a refresher, because it's been a long time since I've played them. One thing that's also been brought into this that I really like is the hint system. So you can get stuck a little bit on point-and-click adventure games with not knowing where to go. And there can be the tendency for hint systems to go really overboard and just say straight away, this is what you do. But the this hint system really just directs you. Like, it gives you a gentle thing. So, like, there'll be something, it'll say, oh, maybe there's somebody in town you could talk to. And so it just sends you off in a direction of talking to people. And it just gradually gets bigger and bigger hints until it actually tells you what to do. But there's, like, four or five of the hints, so you could sit there clicking through them on one single thing, and I like that, because sometimes you're stuck but you don't want a huge hint that's going to tell you what to do. You just want something gentle that's going to poke you in the right direction,
but it still has the facilities to kind of go on to make it a bit more obvious if you do need that extra help. Is that what you're saying as well? That makes it really like nice and approachable for, then, you know, lots of people to play it, depending on how experienced or inexperienced they are with gaming and stuff too. And it seems like a lot of people in chat as well seem to like Monkey Island. Gamey Game Faces, the PS2 Monkey Island game. It's on Steam for $5, which is pretty cool.
I didn't even know it got a PS2 release.
I loved the Monkey Island. They loved the Monkey Island game as well. And if anyone remembers the hook, the Peter Pan click and point needs a remake. Gamma says that Guybrush is still voiced by the original voice actor as well. Also, hello to Vague Blue Dragon, Harvest, big Harvest Moon fan from the looks of it as well. I also played a lot of Harvest Moon. It was good. And we're talking about Star Wars Racer N64.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like, and this, I'm getting on my Star Wars horse here because big Star Wars gamer. Like, I occasionally do a YouTube series about going back and playing old Star Wars games. And like, there was this heyday of LucasArts where they released banger after banger of titles. It kind of went. Down when the prequels came out, because there was such a demand for Star Wars stuff, there was a big push for more Star Wars games, and there was a lot that were meh. And then, of course, Disney bought them out and decided they just wanted to give the lease for Star Wars games to EA, and LucasArts was shut down. But I'm glad to say that they've come full circle again, and that after the contract with EA expired, Disney have reformed LucasArts. They're calling it Lucasfilm Games now. So hopefully a lot more of those games will see, like, more the Fallen Order style of games rather than the newer Battlefront games. But that's me on my high horse for Star Wars games. But Monkey Island is a great return to form. Well, technically, I finished the game. I just haven't had the chance to put the words together for the review, but there will be a review coming on GameOnOz.com as well. But yeah, that's my bloody good game of the week. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband.
Yeah. So some more news dropped during the week as well, that E3 is coming back as an in-person event with a little bit of a twist. And I'm kind of glad to see this happening, because they're splitting it again into like a business side and a consumer side. Mm-hmm. And I like the move back towards the business side, because that's what E3 is not an expo. Well, it is an expo, but it's not a consumer expo. It's a trade show. It's where people go to show off all their good stuff and to network and things like that. It's great to get the announcements out of there, but it's not somewhere for consumers to line up for hours to get a glimpse at the latest sort of a game. Like that's to me is what E3 is, and I'm glad to see it sort of moving back that way with the business focused part of the event.
I'm excited to see that it's coming back, because obviously we've had a time where obviously they haven't been present with things like COVID, but then also we've seen this year Sony have their own announcements, and obviously everyone's gone and made their own things, which still worked. I didn't think it was that much of a biggie that they didn't do their usual stream. I don't know. How do you feel about that in terms of, you know, for us who aren't able to physically attend E3, do you like having everything all together in one spot? I know technically not everyone makes an appearance at E3, but how are you feeling about, you know, them coming back next year? Do you think they're going to try and band everyone together again as much as possible to have them be the center point for these announcements?
I hope so. I just feel like even before COVID hit and it's like the attendance was going downhill, and it's why they opened it up to influencers and consumers and not just business people. I can see why they did that, but I feel like it's kind of lost some of its flair by doing that, and it's made it it's made it accessible to everybody, and it's lost the sort of that exclusivity feel. And I mean, Microsoft was pretty much the only one of the big three that was still going there. I think the last time Nintendo had a big presence at E3 was probably Breath of the Wild. I think just before that was released, they had a big booth there, and all they were showing off was Breath of the Wild. And Sony hasn't been there for years either. So I don't know. I do kind of miss that feel of an E3, and it's something that the Game Awards I don't think matches, or because that's very curated, very sterile content. Like it's rehearsed to within an inch of its life. If they've had a mistake, they go, all right, cut, let's do it again. Whereas live stuff is always better for me. Like, it, you, you see the foibles, you see those interactions. You won't get a "you're breathtaking" from a Game Awards thing because it, you don't have that crowd interaction and that ad-libbing, you know?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I always associated, you know, the name of E3 with being like, oh my God, this is it. This is where we're going to hear and see everything that we've all been anticipating and things like that. But then at the same time, just knowing, okay, Xbox has their own thing. Like, I mean, this year, for example, okay, Xbox has their own thing on this day. You know, Sony has their own thing on this day. I mean, for those, I mean, for the convenience of having as much of it as possible in one spot for some people, I think is fantastic. But for me, and I guess for yourself and anyone who's who likes to stay up to date with, you know, gaming news and announcements and stuff like that too, it wouldn't have been too much of a big deal to just tune in, you know, obviously from the outside, to witness the first announcements of, you know, upcoming titles and things like that too. So I don't know. I am interested to see whether, like kind of what you said, because the popularity has kind of been decreasing on their end, whether it will still, I don't know, whether because they've kind of been gone or kind of going away for a little bit, whether people will come back and expect something big and spectacular, or whether it will kind of just be somewhat mediocre and people will be like, oh no, I'd rather just go, like, I'll go watch Xbox because I love Xbox and I will just tune in for their stuff and I won't stick around for everything else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like anything though. It's the booths that attend that make this, make events like this. It's, you don't get bums on seats going to events like E3 without the booths behind it. And big businesses and even indie devs have gotten more savvy with how they market their stuff. And it's a lot easier to chuck a video up on YouTube than it is to arrange travel to an expo, have to buy or rent out the booth and do all that sort of stuff to be able to show off what you're trying to sell when you could literally make a video and put it up for free.
I think you make a really good point there too, because in just the world that we're living in at the moment with the internet and stuff, it could be so easy to have something that would otherwise be overlooked just start trending or making the odd appearance through viral videos and that be enough to promote the game, which is something very similar to what we'll talk about with another game soon, which I don't think we would have heard about unless it's been making the rounds, if you know which one I'm alluding to. I think only time will tell. Have they put a date on it? I think they have, haven't they?
It will take place from Tuesday the 13th to Friday the 16th of June 2023, so it's still, you know, 8 months off, but that's still a, you know, if you're 8 months out from an event like that, you've already have an idea of the big people that are coming in. But it just, that those people haven't been announced yet that's going to be attending. And I hope it does well, because, like, I used to be in the camp of, oh, it's E3, I don't really care, let's just release the trailers. But having been on the reviewing side of things, not that I think I'm ever going to get an invite to E3, but that's the sort of thing where you would go and you would talk to devs and you would get to know the game. You know, it's part of why I'm so excited for PAX, walking through the indie hall and talking to the indie devs and seeing everybody there with their games. You know,
you make a really good point as well, because I saw, and I don't know whether you've seen any of this, but there was some discourse going through some gaming pages and stuff that was following, where people were getting up in arms about the big three not attending PAX. And for me, like, that's kind of not what it's about though. Like, if you know, it's, and I guess in if you're looking at it in that positive kind of light, it's maybe good that the big three, Xbox, Nintendo, Sony, aren't there, because you get to have a chance to really see, you know, these indie developers, whether they be tabletop games or whether they be video games and stuff, and get to spend more time with them. I think that's also equally fantastic. And I think if you're just there just for the big three. That's kind of, for me, that's not what PAX is about. It's about being part of that gaming community and, you know, getting to access and be part of and interact with so many different elements to the gaming industry itself. It's bigger than the big three, in my opinion.
And if you're coming to an expo like this to see the big three, you're going to be standing in line for hours and miss out on so much else.
Not worth it. No. I mean, yeah, sure, it would be exciting if one of them or any of them made an appearance. But for me, that doesn't change a single thing because, I mean, that's not what it's about. And you're exactly right. If you're going there just for them, are you willing to be there for most of the day waiting in line to play, what, a few minutes of some upcoming title? I don't think so.
Yeah. It reminds me, 2007, I was in Europe and was able to attend the first Star Wars celebration in Europe.
Oh,
it was in London.
And, that's so cool.
Mark Hamill was there. And I thought, oh, this will be cool. I'll go in line. And no word of a lie, the line to see him was around the block. I'm not surprised. It went all the way around the convention center and then out the door. It was huge. And I went, I'd really like to meet him and like get his autograph and stuff. But like, there was just so much. And like, I met Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO, Kenny Baker, who was the guy inside R2-D2. Billy Dee Williams was there. I met him.
That's so cool. Yeah. How have we never spoken about this? I'm insanely jealous right now.
I feel like I have mentioned this a few times. Maybe not to you, but like I try, it's one of my go-to stories because I love it so much. And like
that's so cool.
Stuff like Ray Park, who was Darth Maul, was there.
That's so cool.
I think Jeremy Bullock, who was the OG Boba Fett. I can't remember if Temuera Morrison was there or not, but the kid who played Boba Fett was there as well, Daniel Logan. Mm. So like, anyway, but yeah, like those are things I did instead of queuing up to see Mark Hamill. And even though I would have loved to, you make the decision that you'd rather see lots of things than the one big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I definitely like that for PAX.
So I guess we'll see. I mean, I would love if I had the opportunity to be in attendance of E3 and, like you said, just get to meet and chat with people like in that industry. I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, we're going to be able to do that at PAX as well, which is really exciting and arguably even more exciting because we're going to be able to see people who people might not know about just yet.
Yeah,
I might have, you know, the next game we talk about on the podcast here, you know?
I'm actually really excited to walk around the Devolver Digital booth and see what indie games are coming out from them because, like, they just have a habit of finding the best indie games. And like, just in the last few years, there was, I want to call it Phantom Hourglass, but that was the Legend of Zelda game. Phantom Abyss, which was like, a Tomb Raider-esque sort of game where you had a whip and the idea was to get through the traps as quick as you could. We've had Cult of the Lamb recently, Death's Door. They've just had so many really good games that just are getting this critical reception. And I just would really love to sit down with some of those guys behind the scenes and just pick their brain about what they do. And in fact, there's a panel that they're doing about how to pitch games to Devolver, which I want. I'm not a game dev, but I'm going to go sit into that because I just want to know. I know we're trying not to talk about PAX because we've talked about it a lot, but it is very hard because it's getting close. But I do have some things that we'd like to talk about as well, because like, we were doing the prep for the show and kind of went, there's not a lot of big things that we want to talk about. So we went, you know what? Screw it. Let's just get a lot of these smaller things and talk about them. So most of these are coming from Twitter. And it will probably surprise no one that I'm going to start with some Metal Hellsinger news. So I mentioned before that there's a modding coming for it where you can put in your own music. And that's here now. So like the video we're playing at the moment is jazz has been modded into and it just it actually fits really well. And I love this idea, and I would love to see what songs people would put in there. Like, I think we asked this question last week because there was an unofficial mod where they'd put in Sweet Home Alabama. But, like, I think it was a Gamma said, Don't Stop Me Now, or did you say Don't Stop Me Now by Queen? Like, I can just imagine going around and playing this to that. Like, and it's a thing as well, like, because you're firing on the beat. If you have a song with a lot of beats per minute, would that make the game easier? Because I think it would, because unless,
like, Through the Fire and Flames, like the rhythms God. And that, yeah. Point made. I think
I'm writing that down. I want that. Through the fire.
I know, I've started something now. Flames. No, arguably, with more beats per minute, that would be... Well, I mean, it's dependent on the actual melody. Because I assume, because I still haven't had a chance to pick it up yet, it's the melody that you're following rather than the actual, like, rhythm section.
Yeah, well, because the shooting in Metal Hellsinger is based on the beat of the song. So if there's more beats per minute, then you would have more opportunities to fire.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering if that would make it easier, or if a higher BPM would mean that the enemies move quicker as well.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm understanding what you're saying now, because then you'll have more hits on the enemy. Whereas in my mind, my first thing, when I think of like things like Guitar Hero and stuff, and I'm thinking about all these fast songs. But then, like what Gamey Game Faces say, don't worry, be happy, which is so slow. You can't afford to miss a single shot.
But I like the idea of that as well. It's just like an ironic song. Or even like the Happy Happy Joy Joy song from Ren and Stimpy. Like, okay. So you've heard of Ren and Stimpy at least,
haven't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was a song that came out of that called Happy Happy Joy Joy. Hang on.
Be able to hear it through the
I'll send you the link, sorry.
And but then we also won't get copyright stricken.
Yeah. But
but I'll have to listen to it after.
Oh no, I'm still gonna play it because I want everybody else to hear it. But I want you to be able to hear it as well. But it's just like Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy. Yeah, it's just like this stupidly, mind-numbingly happy sort of track. And like, I can just see this being modded into Metal Hellsinger, and I would love every minute of it. hang on, let me... Yeah, it's... Good. It's just very, very stupid, and I can just picture, especially the last the last boss, like it would just be the biggest slap in the face to the last boss beating her with this song, like, and I would just have infinite joy doing that. So yes, oh my God, the possibilities are endless. Oh, it's so good. So it's with this modding, it's not as simple as just updating the game and going, cool, I'm going to put a song in. You also have to install FMod Studio, and there's a Metal Hellsinger package for that you have to get as well so you can start modding it. And the good news is as well, if you just want to mod it, it works on the demo of the game as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, you could just go in and mod the demo and have some fun there. So... Now, a minute ago, you mentioned Guitar Hero, and we were talking earlier about like the different crazy peripherals that people use. And there was one that we found on Twitter, and I didn't know this was a game, but there is a game called I've lost it now.
I'm so excited for you
trumpet,
to show it.
Trumpet, trombone champ, trombone champ, and there's a streamer Rudism, and well, I just think. And I know I'm going to have to talk about it eventually, but he has made a custom controller, like an actual trombone, like, and it's just, I don't know, like, I had to look up this game to start with because I thought, what the hell is he actually playing?
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes, I did, actually. I watched it.
Oh, cracks me up.
But, yeah, it's just like, oh, my God. What? And, like, the, oh, what is it? It's like the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, which is the song playing at the moment from the Nutcracker. And if I'm being honest, it sounds awful, but this controller mod is awesome. Like, what the hell?
I think the charm of it is because it sounds so awful. That's what makes it so damn funny as well. Like, it's so good.
It's just like all those different things. Like, I've seen, after I saw this trombone mod, I saw one where that someone was playing it with a racing car steering wheel. And then there's the other
look
ones.
Look at him breathing, like, yeah. Poor thing.
But the... like the classic, let's play Guitar Hero with a normal controller, because you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the coloured buttons on the controller, on Guitar Hero controller, match up with like the A, B, X, Y buttons on your Xbox or the different ones on the PlayStation. So you can play it with just a controller. Or like the very, very crazy people. I've seen, saw a streamer once do... He got the Nintendo Power Gauntlet and played Super Mario Brothers 3. So I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a glove. It sits on the hand and, like, rotating it. It's very, I'm talking, like, original Nintendo motion controls. And
yeah, right.
It's so janky, but it's just, like, people that do these extra challenges or play games in a different way because they just want the challenge. Yeah.
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 That's Trombone Champ. I discovered, I think, randomly when I was scrolling on TikTok. I was watching someone who, I don't know whether like there's a mode to freestyle, but they were trying to replicate like pop songs through the use. And because I haven't played the game, I don't know if they're really just guessing where it is on like that left-hand side bar to tell where the notes are. Mm-hmm. But whatever they were doing it very well. Mm-hmm. And it was so entertaining because it's still, even though they're hitting the right notes, it still sounds so funny. and I've actually got it wishlisted on Steam now because I think it's just hilarious. And it's another music game. Like, I can't say no. I do love my fair share of music games. Especially something like the trombone as well. It's too good to pass up. Yeah.
Have you done any of those like silly controller challenges or anything like
that? If I was clever enough to engineer one, I don't see why I wouldn't want to try doing something like that. I haven't. Like, I don't have a... I'm trying to think now if I've ever had a silly controller, but nothing's really coming to mind. But just seeing like Rudism, like I was having a look at their work, and they're all about building really weird controllers and whatnot. I think it's just so clever and fascinating, and it's a good challenge, I would say. Not one I have the patience for, but I think I commend anyone that does build their own and try and make something of it. I've played Tatsujin. Sorry, I just saw Gamma's comment. I have played Tatsujin. Taiko Nan Tatsujin, I think is the name of the game, and it's a drumming game. I think it might still be on Xbox Game Pass, and it's coming out on Switch soon, or I don't know if it's out yet, and you can actually get little mini drum accessories and play it together. Like with it. And the reason I know about that game is because when I went to Japan a few years ago, just before COVID.
Sorry. I'm going to let you talk, but I just remembered something and I got to go grab something. I'll be right back.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Go get it. So in Japan, like we all know, Japan has many, many, many arcades. They had a few games of Tatsujin, and it was like a proper size drum with like the proper size sticks. Like it was like the real deal. It was so much fun. And that was my first experience with it. So when I found out that Australia was getting it, just like the game on its own, which I'm sure you can just use probably just the Switch buttons, I'd imagine, Gamma, maybe. But also that you could get it with the drums as well. Oh, so good, so good. And I played a lot of Guitar Hero and Rock Band back when that was still really popular. I don't think it still is. But I don't know, just having a cool controller of like just helps. What have you got? I'm curious now.
The GameCube was the first console that I bought for myself. And I, because it was when I was starting to earn my own money, I bought a lot of games for it. And there was
naturally
a game in particular that came out, and I had to have it. And it is Donkey Konga, which a literal set of bongos for the game. And you sat there and beat the bongo drum to the tune of all these different songs.
So how big is it?
Hang on, I'm just getting the drums out. All the plastic on it's probably faded yellow by now. But
I'll describe it for our audio listeners.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's a decent size. Like it's about how long would you say that is?
It's probably about 30 centimeters long. Like the drums are probably decent. About 10 centimeters in diameter, but there's two of them together. But yeah, the way you played it is like you would have hit the left bongo or hit the right bongo, hit them both together. And the idea was that there was also a little microphone on it so it could hear you clap. A clap would be a move as well. But I worked out pretty quick that you could actually just like tap the side of the bongo drum and that would register as a clap as well.
Does the actual, it's just plastic, I imagine. You don't get a bongo sound out of hitting it. In the game you would.
Yeah, in the game you do, but not... not on here.
And for that authentic drum feel.
I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to find a list of the songs. Oh, here we go. Here's some songs. So, we've got Lady Marmalade, the Locomotion, Tub Thumping for those Chumbawamba fans out there. In the Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boston. All the Small Things by Blink-182.
Wow. You know?
One of my all-time favorite songs, Cosmic Girl by Jamiroquai, and Can't Eat by Jamiroquai as well. And then there's You Can't Hurry Love, Louie Louie, Hungarian Dance number 5 in G minor, which is some classical. I swear they were scraping the bottom of the barrel at the end of it, and they just got, let's just chuck in some public domain songs and get it in there. And then, of course, you got some music themes in there, like the Smash Brothers opening, Zelda theme, Donkey Konga theme, Donkey Kong Country theme, of course, the DK rap.
I think I do know the DK rap or know of it. I don't know it, but I know of it. I was definitely expecting all Smash Brothers and all the Nintendo tunes, but I was not expecting Jamiroquai and all the Blink-182 on that game.
It's just fascinating. It's so different. And they released a second one. So it was Donkey Konga 2 as well. And an actual game called Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, where you move Donkey Kong left and right by hitting, right by hitting the right drum or left by hitting the left drum. And yeah, it was very, very different. But me and my mate, we had so much fun playing Donkey Konga. We were just, it's a very easy sort of game.
I do remember I got, this wasn't, I don't feel like it was too long ago, but do you remember DJ Hero?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I got the turntable.
Mm.
I can't remember if we bought it, I convinced my dad to get it because I was like, oh, this will be so cool. But then I also remember, and I could just be dreaming, when they did Guitar Hero on the DS, wasn't there a little attachment you could put at the bottom?
Yeah.
And then use that?
It came with a thing that plugged into the DS's bottom slot. Yeah, and so you could press the buttons and you strummed on the touchscreen.
Yes! Yeah. Okay, I'm not dreaming. I'm so glad you validated that for me. I was that was a real thing. That's the only two things I can
Not just a fever dream of a rhythm game fanatic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That there's just when I think of so much of the plastic crap that I brought over there, because I'm a big Rock Band person. I've bought every incarnation of Rock Band. I must by now have over 1,000 songs in my song library in Rock Band. I bought Rock Band 3 and got the keyboard. All right, the keytar. Sorry,
yeah.
So I've still got that sitting there, but I have to go see if I can find Rock Band 3 on the Xbox 360, because I got a 360 again, so I can...
Do you think we'll ever see the return of Rock Band or any of those games?
No. I don't think so either. I think the latest incarnation that Rock Band's in is you might, if you're lucky, get a re-release of the plastic instruments, but And here's the thing, it's still getting support. It's still getting support. It's still got seasons that are going. It's still getting regular releases of DLC in the terms of songs. But it's just so hard. Like, I'd always buy the band in the box thing. And I played the drums a lot, and conversely, the drums always broke. So I've only got one set of drums. But I've got, like, five guitars.
And, yeah, we've got friends of ours who have the whole... They've got like two guitars, the drums, microphone, like the whole shebang. And it's so it's so good, because whenever we would go over to see them, we would always crack out Rock Band. And it's such a shame that, like, I don't know, it's really hard to find now without spending a lot of money to get equipment, I feel. Unless I'm looking in all the wrong spots.
No, it is super expensive. Like, I the cymbals on my drum kit, because I bought the pro kit, so I've got the extra cymbals up the top. And they broke, and I was searching for replacements for them, and you couldn't find them. You just could not find them for love or money. And then I stumbled across a forum which said you can buy regular electronic drum kit cymbals and mod them to put on your drum kit. So I went, and I think I replaced all three cymbals on my drum kit for $130-140. So it did require a little of little alteration, because, like, most of the electronic drum cymbals have a headphone jack, like the big headphone jack, to plug into them, and it goes to a 3.5mm headphone jack on the back of the drums. But you had to cut the cable and do a little bit of rewiring, because the wires that the electronic cymbal sent the data across weren't quite the same as what Rock Band received. So it was a pretty simple case of, you know, cut it and rewire it back together, and I've got working drums again.
Nice. Yeah, they're just so good. And even the singing games now, like, I've only seen one singing game that's been released, I think, in the last few years. It's not even called, like, SingStar doesn't exist anymore.
I was about to say, is SingStar still around?
I don't know. I don't think it's SingStar. No. Well, I know it's definitely not called SingStar, this new one. I can't even remember what it was called.
Sing It. I think it's Sing It, because I remember
reviewing... Is it Sing It, or is it We Sing or something?
Yeah, I remember doing a review for Game On Oz for a Queen version of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, because off memory, when I've seen that game, I think it said it came with, like, mobile, like, app support for another microphone.
Let's Sing.
Which is really cool.
Let's Sing. Oh, Let's Sing. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I think We Sing came out probably on the Wii.
Yeah.
But it was W-E, not W-I-I.
Mm.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, those games are really good. I remember, and I don't think one of my other siblings will ever forgive me, but when I was probably about 11 or 12, my mum did a whole trade-in of our Wii games, like Nintendo Wii games, and EB Game Shop, and I convinced her to get the High School Musical SingStar game, which I only played a handful of times because I was too shy to sing at home in front of everyone. And I just remember my other sibling just cursing, going like, oh my God, all of our games and you got High School Musical SingStar. How could you? I don't think I'll ever let that down. But they're good. They're good. I just, I don't know. Any games that get people together and mucking around is always good. I think that's why Just Dance is still such a good hit as well.
Have you heard of Rocksmith?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have heard of Rocksmith.
I got into the beta of Rocksmith Plus last year sometime.
Was that the newest iteration?
Yeah. So that it's a subscription service.
And
they just move songs in and out now. But it was really cool. Like, and you were mentioning, like, the apps and whatnot, because it used to be you would get the cable and it would plug onto the computer or to your console or whatever from your guitar. But Rocksmith Plus had an app as well, and it worked really well. Like, there was no real lag between them, and I'm trying to work out, because I didn't know if it was out yet or not, because I hadn't heard anything. But it seems like it is out, but
because didn't you need a little adapter or something of some sort?
No, Rocksmith. Not you did for the
console?
The original Rocksmith that came out because I remember playing it on the PS3, okay, and you needed an attachment for this. But Rocksmith Plus, which is the newer version, has a mobile app. So okay. I just Google searched Rocksmith Plus release date, and apparently it was the 6th of September. This month it came out.
Oh,
which is okay. surprising because I didn't hear anything about it. And like yeah. I was pretty keen for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the whole idea behind Rocksmith as well. I think it's really innovative.
Yeah. So I think let's move on. So we only had one more from Twitter. And I feel this one in my soul because I did this. So we'll set the scene for those playing along at home. So what we've got is it's a game of Halo Infinite, and they're playing one of the big team battles with the Seeds. And if you've ever played this, basically a big group of power seeds drop in the middle and you fight the opposing team to get them. And you bring them back to your base and you try and you put them in the power bank. But if there's already a seed in the power bank, then you can't put a seed in there. And this poor guy, Maximum Josh, this poor Josh, can't work out that he has to put it in an empty thing. And like I said, I feel this in my soul because it took me an abnormally long time myself to work out how to actually do that. And like, it's a funny clip now watching it. And as soon as this started, as soon as this video started playing, which was on the XLR8, I think is his name. Hang on, let me just confirm that. But yeah, XLR8, so Accelerate. Yeah, when it started playing on my YouTube feed, I went, I know exactly what this is, and I feel so sorry for poor Josh right here.
Look, you got to learn somehow. I think everyone's had one of those gaming moments where the obvious just kind of flips away from you.
and I'm glad this guy took the time to teach him how to do it.
Yeah, I thought that was quite sweet too. They like really persevered and was like, no, over here.
Yeah, even right at the end, you can see after Josh finally puts it in and they do their celebratory tea bags there, you can see Accelerate starts getting hit. And it's just like, but he's just laughing so hard that he doesn't know what's going on there. But it came up and I thought, I like that. That is cool. Thank you, Accelerate, for being so kind to poor Josh, and thank you, Josh, for reminding me of how terrible a Halo player I am.
But part of me just likes the fact that Accelerate, who was streaming it and stuff, like wasn't getting annoyed. It was just like, well, maybe a little. At some point, he was like getting a little frustrated, but he was so like nice about it, because that's the thing with like some multiplayer games. If you don't know how to do something straight away and you've got someone more experienced on your team, they could be really scary. Yeah. But he was like, no, we'll get them learning. And I'm sure Josh has never forgotten that again.
That's it. Because you can see, at least Josh knew, I can't work out how to get this bloody thing in. So he's dropped it for somebody else to do it. And then he must have had maybe proximity chat on or something. And so Josh has run off and come back. And although why not just tell him it's here. But anyway, that the fact that he came back and he learned how to put it in, and like everybody was happy at the end. fun times.
Just gaming things.
Yeah.
Just gaming moments.
That we can make a hashtag out of that. Just gaming things.
Yeah.
Have you, I've seen some of your clips from your stream, so I know the answer to this prior to asking, but have you had any moments like that?
You know I've had a lot of moments like that. What an awful question. You know there was. There was actually, so I played, my most recent one, I played Modern Warfare 2, the beta with a few mates last Monday. So mean. You know I post a lot of crappy plays. So then what happened was we were playing on console, and I don't play first-person shooters on console because I can't wrap my brain around being able to aim. Like, props to anyone, because obviously if you grow up with console, you learn how to shoot on console, but I always shoot on PC. There was one moment, so there's a compilation of short little clips when I was playing with my mates, and they were teasing me, you know, typical friends that are bullying you while you're playing. And I couldn't figure out, you know, the big pod move where you like you slide and shoot or whatever the case is. And I tried to do it, and I kind of pressed the buttons the wrong way. So the clip is me saying, how do I slide? And someone said, hit circle and hold it or something. And I did that, or they gave me the wrong instruction, and you just see me propel myself forward, like dive into prone position, and I get immediately shot in the head rather than sliding and actually shooting the enemy that's in front. It was so embarrassing, but like we've all been there, and you got to learn somehow. I think playing with people you know, or even playing with people who are chill and relaxed enough to be like, oh yeah, you know, shit happens, like can't have a good game all the time. That's the kind of best gaming experience, I think, to surround yourself with. Because I think as soon as you start getting people who take things too seriously, or, you know, have low patience, or expect you to know how to play straight away, like perfectly straight away, then it kind of takes away the enjoyment of it. So I think that clip that you showed of Accelerate helping that dude, Josh, and just being like encouraging about it, that's the kind of thing we should aspire to be more like. Mm. When we're gaming,
be like people, Accelerate, I think. And be, yeah. And also be like Josh, who was willing to learn.
Yes, exactly. That too. But yeah, I think it's all about the people you surround yourself with, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I have definitely, I think anyone who comes to my streams to watch me play, no, they're not there to watch me be, you know, a AAA level player. But it's just about giving it a go, just having a bit of fun. So exactly. Yeah, I could definitely relate to Josh.
Nice. Well, that's about all we've got for you guys this week. Thank you so much for watching live on twitch.tv/gameonoz, or if you're listening to us on all the various podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music, or whatever X Music platform it is. Very much appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you to Aussie Broadband for bloody good games of the week. I've been having a lot of fun with Return to Monkey Island, and I am going to have to eventually write the review sometime. I don't know when I'll find the time between other stuff and preparing for PAX. It's just, yeah, fun.
Yes, it's probably a good time to let people know we won't have an episode next week because
we
won't be here, right?
I'm still kind of playing with, like, I kind of want to do, I want to do something, all right? I know we're not, like, I know it's going to be hard, but at this point, I'll say there won't be an episode, but don't be surprised if something pops up, because I can't, like, I think there might be a few of us there on Wednesday, maybe, and I'd it's something I'd really like to do, but I don't know how many of us, like, in Goa as a whole, I mean,
yeah. We'll be there. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm sure we'll make it up to everyone over that weekend. There'll be a lot to post around and things like that too, so definitely stay up to date on the Game and Oz social media pages as well, because I think we're just about everywhere, aren't we?
We definitely are. And don't forget as well, if you're actually at PAX, Stormy and myself will be on a panel on 10:30 on Friday about how to host a charity stream. And Goa has our community space at 4:30 in the Ibis room, I think it is. So come and meet us. Come and say hi.
Yeah, definitely. That you saying that makes it all feel so more real now.
I just went, you know what did it for me is when you said, oh, you're going to be in, this time next week, you'll be in Melbourne. I went, oh yeah, shit, I am. But it's going to be fun. Cannot wait to see everybody there. Cannot wait to just have fun, have the whole PAX experience, and we may see you next week. If not, we will see you the week after. But be good, have fun, and play some games.
Thanks, everyone.